important. Okay, here we go. Pasik chaf gimel v'chol ish Mr. Rapport, welcome. My camera is mysteriously, my camera is not working, so we're going to do without the camera. It's not so important why I look like anyway. Okay, pasik chaf gimel v'chol ish asher nimsa ito techeles v'argamon v'telashon v'shesh v'izim v'oiros te'elim me'odomim v'oiros techoshim v'viyu. Every person that was found with him, techeles, argamon, telashoni, v'shesh izim, that's shatness. Okay, those are the four materials that we use in the Mishkan. Blue, purple.
Why the Lash and Nimtza? Nimtza is like, you have it? No, that's not. It should be Chodesh Asheyesh Boy.
Excellent question. It's a very, very good, question. I don't know. You got to think about that. It sounds more like there's a Hashkocha Pratis. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he put in the possession of these of very specific people materials because he wanted these people to be the ones that would give it. That's what it sounds like. It was b'hashkocha pratis. It didn't just happen. The person that had in their possession, everyone had and people gave. If you had it, it's because Hashem gave it to you in an unusual way, back in the past. Oh, and now you look back. Now I understand why I have it, because Hashem wants me to be the one to give this material for. The Mishkan. Yes, very good. We got to think about that. Excellent question. Okay, so we have the blue, the purple, the Tlashoni is red. Sheish is linen. Okay, the Izim. Now this is interesting. We're grouping Izim means goat skins. And the goat skins were used for the second covering of the Mishkan. Okay, the second covering of the Mishkan were the goat skins. And then we have the Oyos Elim Me'odam. Then we have over here the redskins. The redskins that were used to cover the third cover of the Mishkan. And the Oyos Techashim Heviyu, that's the fourth cover. The Oyos Techashim Heviyu. Notice over here, these are all, it's very interesting, these are all, and I never appreciated this. These are the four layers of the Mishkan. The first layer was made from strands of Techeles, Argamon, Tulashoni, Vashesh. Okay, there were 24. Is that correct? 24 strands. 24 strands. That was each cord was made from 24 cords. There were 6 cords of wool, of blue, 6 cords of purple, 6 of red, and 6 of linen. It was shatness. Each cord had a total of 24 cords. And this was the string that was used to weave to make the lower layer of the Mishkan. On top of that, it was put skins of goats. Goat skins with hair. That was the second layer, that's the Izim. The third layer are the Oyres Elim Me'odamim, the rams that were red skin lambs. And the fourth layer was the Oyres Techoshim of the Tachash. So this pasuk is going through the order of the four layers of material that cover the Mishkan. It's not, I just don't know the way of these items, and they're just being presented. They're being presented in no specific order, just different materials. No, these materials are going from bottom up. Okay, now with that we have maybe better appreciation of what says Uncle Lishvachol Gvar. Every man the Ishtakach that was found in Imei Techla is blue, the Argivana purple, Utsava Zohirina. This is very interesting. Okay, so notice that when it comes to Toila Shani, he calls it the color Zohiri. That means it shines. Now, what color is Tlashani? We typically understand this to mean red, crimson. In the English, it says over here, anyone that possesses blue, purple, and crimson yarn. Crimson yarns. Why does he call it yarns? Tlashani. Why does he say it in English with plural? I don't know. Then he says fine linen. Okay, that's okay. Goats here. Doesn't say goats here. It says izim. See, whoever translated this pasuk in English has taken great liberties in being very, very general and very, very, very liberal in his translation. And it's good. It's very good that he did this. We give him the very big Yashar Koyach because it gets us to think, to challenge what exactly he's saying, and it brings out some very good points. Okay, gets us to think. Oris Elim Adamim, then there's the skins of the Elim Adamim, the red skins, and the Oris to Hashem Heviyu. Okay, now, let's over here, go again, look over here at the Chiddush. Over here, when it comes to the Toila Hashani, the Targum translated Tzva, a color, Zilhoiri, that was bright. A bright color. What's a bright color? I guess it means red. So, but that's not what it says. A Toila Hashani, this is a very big topic of discussion, which never clarity. I remember vaguely last year when we learned these parashios and we came to the word Toila Hashani and we spent a lot of time on this. What exactly does it mean? Tlas means a worm? A worm? What does Shani mean? Name of a worm? And this worm has a blood? And this blood, when it's applied to wool, it turns it red? Is that what it means? Shani, is Shani mean a cord? Okay, I don't even remember anymore. There were so many different interpretations as to what it means, and it's very, very not clear what it means to La Shani. Very not clear. And basically, the bottom line is, at the end of the day, we have wool that is dyed the color crimson, which I assume is a shade... What? I assume it's a shade of red. Now, exactly what shade of red is crimson, I don't know. But it's red. It's a reddish color. Okay, sheish is linen, izin, so go back over here, v'chol gvar dishtach yimei, techil is blue, argoma, argovana is purple, utzva, here he has to eat, tzva means the color of zahiri. Does that mean to say that they're not actually giving the wool, they're just giving the color, the dye, maybe, ubutz is linen, ume'aze means what? I don't know what it means, it means goatskins, and then it says, umashchei, the hide, the dichrei, of lambs, of rams, misamke, that are red. Okay, so notice misamke me'odomim here means red, misamke, and when it comes to Tola Shani, it says zehoiri. What is the difference of color between samke, red, and zehoiri? Different shades of red? I don't know. Umashre hides, saskono is a tachash, saskohoi, many colors. I see who they brought. Notice here, everything is about a color. And it's a very, this may in fact be the most colorful pasuk in the entire Tanakh. Okay, the most colorful pasuk. We have blue, purple, scarlet, linen is white, sheish is white, ezim, goatskins, brown. Okay, I'm assuming the goatskins are brown. And red, elim, and a multicolored hide, sos gava. It takes joy in its multicolored garment, skin. So this definitely, we have to be mechadish, who's kedai for me at least, to come here to learn about in Parashas Vayakel. We have now embraced the most colorful pasuk in the entire Torah. Isn't that amazing? We talk about color. Okay, not everything in the Torah is black and white. And in fact, in this pasuk, there is no black and white. The only black and white of this pasuk, well, there is white. There is sheish, linen. Linen is white. And the only black is the dioy, the ink, which this pasuk is written on. Okay, again, it's blue, purple, scarlet, white. What color are ezim? What color are the hairs of a goat? I assume a brown, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Does anyone know? I'm assuming it's a brown and red skins of an ayil and a multicolored hide of this creature that no longer exists, is extinct, that only existed during that time. What does Rashi say? The chol isha shayidim seito techeles o argaman, o telashani, o oiris ilim, oi techashim, or techashim, kulam hevi, they all brought it. So is now here now. Since we work with the principle that Rashi is writing a sefer on Unkelus, Rashi is presenting a super commentary, a commentary on a commentary. So if that's true, if that thesis is correct, is Rashi coming to argue, or is Rashi coming to explain? Because the Targum is silent. Every minute was found with him Techeles, Argama, Mitzvah, Zuchar, Yiputz, Ma'azeh, Mashre, Dichre, Maske, Mashre, they brought it. Now, I mean, I think we took it for a given that it means one or the other. It doesn't mean a person had in his possession everything. That's very unlikely. It's very unlikely a person has in his possession every single thing. So why then would it be necessary for Rashi to say, oh, why? Techeles, O Argaman, Oy Tolashani, O Oy Rois, Elim, Oy Techashim Kulmaviyu. But wait a minute, Rashi left out. What is going on? See, the more you look at it, the more everything becomes very weird. Rashi, he came to Tolashani. What about Sheish? He left out Sheish. He left out Izim. Vishesh, Vizim. And then he only goes into the Oyrois Elim Yodamim. And Oyrois Techashim. Why did Rashi leave out Sheish? Why did he leave out the Izim? Oy Argaman, Oy Tchelas, Oy Argaman, Oy Talashani, Oy Oyrois Elim. Elim. And notice here he doesn't say the word Me'odamim. Oy Techashim. Doesn't. So there's something going on here. What's going on? I have no idea. But there's got to be something really more. Okay, let's go see what it says over here in the back. Sorry. Ayakel, Perik Lamed Hey, Pasuk of Gimel. Let's see if we have already any insight. Here is the Pasuk. And here is, I'm reading over here what it says over here. No, there's no comment on this. How do you like that? No comment on this Pasuk at all. Surprise. Okay, let's go to the next Pasuk. Kol Meirim, anyone who lifted up, Terumas, a lifting up. Now this appears to be a repetition. Anyone who lifted up, Terumas, Kesef, and Choshes, a lifting of silver and copper. What happened to the gold? The gold we already mentioned. Okay, the gold we're not discussing here. Because the gold we already discussed back in the previous Pesukim. V'cholish asher heinif tenufa zohav laHashem. So we're done with the gold. Now we're up to something else. Kol meir tumas kesef nechoshes heviu eishum et Hashem v'chol asher nimso ito atzei shitim l'chol meleches ha'avodah heviu. Anyone that lifted up a gift of silver, copper, brought eishum et Hashem v'chol asher nimso ito atzei shitim, a special type of wood l'chol meleches ha'avodah heviu. What does it say? In Rashi, there is no Rashi. What does the Targum say? Kol da'areim aramus kesaf nechash. I see you. Yos afroshusa kodam Hashem chodi ishtagach imeya. Or a shitin, wood of shitin, l'chol avidas pulchona. I see so. He brought it. Okay, there doesn't seem to be any major chidushim over here. And, here he goes into just, doesn't say very much. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Okay, now this is already getting interesting over here. This is already a lot. The cholish, every woman chachma slave, the yodecha tavu, with her hands she owned, she spun. Vayaviu matve, the spun wool, es atcheles, v'es ragon, v'es lashoni, v'es ashesh. Okay, so here we have every woman who has a wise heart. With her own hands, she spun the wool. And they brought matve. What's matve? Matve is what they had spun. In the English, it says what they had spun. Of tcheles blue, argon purple, to lashoni crimson, and shesh and linen. Targum, b'chol, it is every woman, chakimas liba, a wise heart, be doha, with her hands, me'azla. Okay, that's a nice word. We haven't had it before. Me'azla. Umaisan, she brought kad, azel, what she spun, the same exact word. Yos tichla, blue. Yos argivana, purple. Yos tzivazahiri. Again, the same thing, the color of crimson. The yos butsa is linen. Rashi. No Rashi on this. Ma'ashari, Pasuk Chaf Hey. He has a whole lot of stuff over here. Okay, here finally he got into, no, just a little bit. Chakimas, okay, wisdom. Kamar Chachos, the Shema Chachos, Slave Hey, Isha Chacham, okay, a wise woman. Ozlo, Lashon Avar, no, she brought, that's it, no. Nope, that's it. Okay, next pasuk. Let's see. Let's go further. Pasuk chavav. V'chol ha'anashim asher nasa liban oisana b'chachma tavu es ho'izim. Every woman asher nasa liban oisana b'chachma, with their heart lifted them with wisdom, they spun the wool. They spun tavu es ho'izim. Okay, so this is very interesting. Because in the previous pasuk, we are hereby differentiating between the goat skins and the lower layer of skins. the lowest of the four layers that covered the Mishkan were made from four materials. Purple, there were three wool and one linen. The three wool included blue, purple, and crimson. The fourth was linen. Each one was made from six strands. All 24, that's 6 times 4, 24. They were all 18, we have 6, 12, 18 were wool. Another 6 were linen. And again, there were 4 different types, total of 24 strands. They were all spun, they were all interconnected. Okay, if you look at the picture, Art School has a very good, beautiful picture of this. They were all put together to make these strands, these cords. And these cords were all put together in order to make embroidery to make the bottom layer of the Mishkan. Okay, so who did that? So in the previous pasuk it says every woman who was wise, chachmas isha chachmas leif. In this pasuk we are describing how they made the second layer that covered the Mishkan. The second layer was made from goat skins, and the hair of the goat skins were spun. Now, I have no idea how they do this. I have no idea what this means, but it was okay. They have the goats, and they would take the goat skins, and on the goat skins there was hair, and somehow they would spin the hair. Whatever this means, I have no idea what this means.
But in Pasuk Chaf Hey, the subject matter of their spinning was a material, a wool, this or that.
Right.
And Rashi, as we'll see probably in a minute, Rabbi, confirms that in Pasuk Chavav, the subject that was being spun was literally the goats themselves. It doesn't say the product of the goat hair.
No, so let's see the Rashi right now. Okay, let's see the Rashi right now. There are a lot of differences. Tavuas Izim, the Pasuk literally means they spun the goats. In the English, it says spun the goat's hair. Now, what does that mean exactly? Right. So look. So Rashi explains. Tavu es izim he hoisa omonus yisera. It was a profession that was very, very unique. Sheme al gabe hoizim tovin oisam. The animal is alive, and the animals, these goats, have obviously hair that is long, and the hair needs to be spun in some technique. It's not exactly clear what kind of skin this is. And while the animal was alive, they would comb the hair of the goat into what would be the finished product. Then they would slaughter the goat, delicately make sure that no blood gets on the hide, and then they would skin it, and then they would use those hides that they already prepared for the covering of the Mishkan. I guess they would attach one to another in order to make it should be long enough. And what is unique here is that it's being spun when the animal is alive. Now that means there is life in the hair. This is a fact. When a person is alive, we know this to be true, depending on his emotions, his hair is different. There's life in hair. This is a scientific fact. When a person is frightened, his hair can move. The hair can stand firm, or it can fall to the side. Women, you know, you always hear these things, oh, it's a bad hair day. The temperature outside, the moisture, the weather affects a person's hair. It's more than just the weather affects a person's hair. That's an external stimulus. A person's mood, a person's frame of mind also can cause his hand to stand on edge. Now, to what degree is that true? How does all that work? I really don't know, but it's very clear that there is something unique about hair when it is attached to a living creature. Thus, when these women had to prepare the hair on the hide of the animal, the life of the animal would enhance the finished product. If they would kill the animal and then they would comb this hide, the product, the hair, would not be as have the same luster that it would had it been done when the animal was alive. You find this principle also when it comes to the shamir worm that was used to cut to cut the stones, and you find this by Techeles as well. Now, see, we've been brainwashed to believe that Techeles is the Murex. There's a fish out there today, a fish, a snail, which many of the Gedolei Yisrael are very concerned may in fact be Techeles. And thus, there are many people today who wear this dye on their tzitzis. It's definitely not been accepted by the majority of Klal Yisrael. And even those who do wear it, they will readily admit that they're not wearing it because this is certainly the Techeles. It's why not? Maybe this is. And being that we do have some very strong indication that this is the Techeles, it doesn't hurt to wear the Techeles. Now, there are many problems with the Techeles that's worn today, Murex. And one of the problems is that the way it's manufactured today is they get this creature, this fish that's not so easy to come by, and they extract its blood, or I'm not even sure what they extract. It's blood, it's some type of mucus, some type of bile, I don't know. They extract from this fish some type of excretion, and then they use it. Now the problem is they take this thing out of the fish after the fish is dead. And I can't quote for you chapter and verse at this moment, but there are definitely sources in Chazal that indicate it only works if the blood or the extraction of fluid that's being taken from the fish is done when the fish is alive. Once the fish is dead, it's too late. It no longer has the potency to actually turn the wool into the correct color. It has to be applied to the wool when the fish is alive. Okay, there's also the whole thing about the Shamir stone. The Shamir stone, how exactly did it cut through stone? Some say it wasn't, there's a whole discussion, it wasn't the fish, it wasn't the worm, it was the worm's blood. And the question is, how did they extract that blood? Was it extracted when the worm was alive, or was it extracted when the worm was dead? So, again, we have three examples, and two of the examples I've given you are not so common. You have to go search in the Midrashim. I think I know where I have it. I think I know where I saw this. I have the Sefer, maybe even over here. And the Shamir stone and the Chilazoin, there's a discussion when they extracted the material that they needed from these creatures in order to do what they wanted to do. Was it taken when this creature was alive, or was it taken when the creature was dead? Here we are describing the second layer of hides that were used to cover the Mishkan. And this second layer were goatskins. And the goatskins have hair, and the hair has to be spun and prepared and manipulated, and there is obviously an advantage in preparing them when the animal is alive, and that's what it says over here, that they the noshim, those who have wisdom and b'chol hanoshim asher nasa liban oisana b'chochma tavu es izen. So Rashi says he hoisa. Amunus Yisera, a unique talent, Shemi Al Gadhu isn't talking to someone, the animal was alive, they would spin it. Ungulus, the Chol Neshaya, the Israeli Libhen. Now remember this, we had this yesterday. The word Liban with the word Nasa means they wanted. The word Israel means a desire. Imhen with them, the Chokhma with wisdom. As Lan Yas Me Ezaya, they spun the Ho'izen. Now, they spun as the Yos, he made the Ezen out. Okay, there's a lot going on over here because the truth is, how did Rashi know the animal is alive? How does he know that? All it says, Tavu es Ezen, the word Ho Ezen was used above when we described the materials. Kol Mem Tumas Kesef and Lechoshev, say you Tumas Hashem. Okay, we did that was Atishitin. And here is, we have the Techeles, Argamon, Telash Shani, Vesheish, the Izim. When it says here the word Izim, it means the goatskins. It doesn't tell us living goats, living, because we don't want them to be alive on the Mishkan. So now when it says they spun the izim, who says it means they're alive? Tavu es ho'izim. How did Rashi know that when they spun the skins, they were alive? He al gabi ho'izim. When they were alive, who says they were alive? Over here, it doesn't say they were alive. It says they brought kesef, they brought tcheles, argamon, tolashani, v'yesashesh. I'm sorry, what's going on? We're going back over here. It says when they brought the donations, they brought the izim. What does it mean over here? Does it mean over here in Pasuk Chav Gimel that when they brought the donations, they actually brought living animals? Or does it mean they brought skins of goats? Rashi over here is saying a chiddush, and it's hard to see where in the Pasuk he saw this chiddush, the tradition. Targum doesn't say this. Targum called Neshaya, the Israel Libhin, whose heart desired, Imhan with them b'chochmah. They spun the skins. I don't know. Okay. Another thing we'll have to point out over here is that there are two different types of women. In Pasuk Chav Hey, the women are an Isha who's a Chachma slave. A Chachma slave. And then we have a woman in Chol HaNoshim who's Nosa Libon Oysona B'Chochma. That's a different expression. A woman who's a Chachma slave, which means it sounds like almost like the word chochma goes on the heart. And here it says, Nasa Libon Oysana B'chochma. Doesn't say they were chachma slave. Their heart had a desire to achieve chochma. Over here it sounds more like it was natural. And here it sounds like it was acquired. What was a greater skill? Rashi says this was a greater skill. Why? They were alive. And this seems to say was a lesser skill. Is that so? Okay, this needs to be analyzed. Over here, this chachma slave, and here it's nosal libon oysana b'chachma. It doesn't say that they were naturally wise. They had a desire to achieve wisdom. Now let me see if it says over here in the Ma'atzari. In the Ma'atzari, pasuk chaf vav, it says imhein. No. Okay, let's go further. Next pasuk. Pasuk chaf zayin. Now we go to the nisim. Han nisim, the princes. These were the leaders. Hevu, they brought es avne hashoyam. They brought the stones of the shoyam. The es avne hamiluim lo efoid v'lachoshen. How many stones were there in total? There were 12. There were 14 stones. There were 12 stones on the choshen, and there were 2 stones on the ephod. The 2 stones of the ephod were the same stone, and it was also one of the stones that was on the choshen. So really, from the types of stones, there were only 12 types of stones. But from one type, there were 3 stones, 2 of which were used for the ephod on the shoulder, and the other 12 were on the choshen. So the nesi means the leaders. Okay, he calls them the chieftains. Sounds like, you know, the Indians here. The chieftains. I have a feeling that this translation is a very, very old translation. The person who wrote this translation probably wrote this before all of us were born. For some reason they put it over here. So the chieftains, no one today would translate the word Nisim chieftains. This is like a translation from 100 years ago. They brought Es Avne Hashayam, the Lapis Lazuli. What in the world is that? Okay, the lapis lazuli, I have no idea what these words are in English, my ignorance. And other stones for setting. So it's avne hamiluim, the stones of miluim. We call them over here the word miluim. This was what we had with the previous parsha. What is avne hamiluim? We'll see here the targum. Targum of Zion says, the Rav Rivaya, the great ones. I see who they brought, yos avne vurla. What's the Vurla? The stones of the Vurla, that's called the Shoyham. That is what goes on the Ephod. No, the Avne HaShoyham, the Avne Es Avne HaMiluim. What is the Shoyham? The shayam are the shayam stones that go on the shoulder. Okay. The yos avne ashla musa. That's the milui. It fills the hole. Le shaka'a, to deposit. Be'efoda uvichushna and in the chesh. Now notice, he says something very, very interesting. He adds in a word. I'm very surprised here that the editor, who always puts things in bold, did not put this word, put this word in bold. Okay, there is an extra word in the Targum, and that word is lishakoa, which means to set. It doesn't say that in the pasuk. It says in the pasuk v'hanesiyim, that's the Rav Ravaya, the chiefs. Heviu, they brought. I see who they brought. What did they bring? Es avne hashoyam. Okay, yos avne avurlo. V'es avne hamiluim. And v'yos avne ashlamusa. The miluim is to be filled. From the word shlemus, it filled the socket. And what were they for? They were for lo efod v'lachoshen. So what does he say? It should say le efoda u le chushna. And instead, the Targum adds a whole new word. Lishaka'o, to set be'efoda uvichushna. My high. What's going on over here? What's this whole extra word? So let's see Rashi first, then we'll come back. Okay, we'll do Rashi, then we'll come back. V'han nisiyim heviu, Amar Rabbi Nosson. Mor roi nisiyim lehisnadev b'chanukas ha-mizbech b'tchila. U'meleches ha-mishkan lo yisnadvu b'tchila. He's asking a question. Later, when there will be a Miluim, when there will be, the day will come when they will inaugurate the Mishkan, and they will bring special korbanos to inaugurate the Mishkan. The first ones that are going to come and offer gifts to inaugurate the Mishkan are going to be the princes. And over here, when we describe all of the donations, notice they're the last. Okay, yesterday we learned by Yavo Kolish, every man. Every man asher nisoldi b'chol asher naver luchay oisa heviu. They brought gifts. Who are the gifts? Anoshim came, and then it tells us about what they brought, and it tells us different people, volunteers, anoshim v'noshim, and then it comes to the nisim. They come last. So Rav Nosson, Moro Nisim Lestani Bemechzan Nisbech Techila. When it comes to the inauguration, they would first. Umalachas Hamishu, when it comes to the nations, they would collect for the supplies, Lo Yisnadvu Betechila. Ela Kach Amu Nisim, Yisnadvu Tzim Vashem Nisnadvin. Let the common man offer whatever they could afford. Umasha Mechasrim, Anu Mashlim in Oso. We'll fill, we'll be Mashlim. You go and you raise whatever money you can. And after you finish raising the money, then we'll be mashlim, whatever it cost. How much does the Mikdash cost? It cost $10 million. $10 million. We can give it $10 million in a second. But we want the other people to have a chelek in the Mishkan. So you know what? Let these poor people, let everyone give their $18. They'll give $18. And then when you finish collecting, whatever you're missing, we'll give that away. We'll be so nice. We'll let these simple, poor people have a chelek in building the Mishkan. How much already could these poor people give? They'll give $10,000, $100,000. They'll give maybe, it'll be raised $1 million. And we'll come in, they'll be the big heroes. We'll give $9 million to the Mashlim, the $10 million price tag. That was their kavana. So guess what happened? Klal Yisrael raised so much money, they raised $20 million. The Nisim, go jump in the lake. We don't need you. Get lost. The Nisim was shocked to the core. What? You don't need us? You don't need the rich man? You don't need, everyone needs the rich people. The rich people, you know, what's going to be now? We thought our name would be on the building. And every time we walk into the building, they would roll out the red carpet and we would get all the chashav aliyahs and they would worship us because we paid the bills. And look at this. The poor people don't need us. The poor people gave away their life savings in order to build the Beis HaMikdash. The rich people were put to shame. They were put to shame. That's what Rashi says. See, this is my favorite Rashi. Shouldn't say that. But Amar Nasan, Maror Nesim Lisnadi Bechazam Mizbech Betchilu Umelachzam Mishkan. Listen, El Kachal Nesim Yitznadu Tzibu Mashin Nesnadu Mashin Shemechaserim Anu Mashlim Inoisai. What happened? Kevan Sheshlimu Tzibu Sakol Nesibu. They paid all the bills. The poor people collected so much money, they finished everything. Shenemar, v'hamelocha hoyisadayam. Amru nisim, oyvei, what's meh oleinu lasos? So they brought, heviu es avnei hashoyam. The only thing they could find to bring were the avnei shoyam. Now you'll ask the question, that's a contradiction. Did we not just say that the people already brought everything? I don't know, that's a very tough question. I mean, why did they need even the Nesim to bring the Avnei Shoyam? So maybe what it means, I don't know if this is the Pshat, maybe what it means is that the people, the poor people, they gave so much money, they could have easily taken the money. There was a lot of money in the bank. They could have taken the money in the bank. They could have gone to some merchants in the desert or maybe to some other country. They would have bought it. They would buy whatever it costs. Let's say it costs $100,000. They have money in the bank. They'll take $100,000. It'll take them a day. They'll go to one of the neighboring villages in the desert, and they'll go and they'll buy the Avnei Shoyam. So the Nevi'im, we don't need you. So the Nesim says, we'll save you the trip. We have in the vault these stones anyway. So you know what? Keep the money in the bank for a rainy day, and we'll give you, don't go to the market, stay home, don't travel to the local village, and we'll take out of our vault in the desert, we'll give you these stones. Maybe that's what it means. Therefore, they will put to shame. Therefore, when it came the next time, the next round, to give donations, and that was when they actually inaugurated the Mishkan by bringing Korbanos, they went first. They did not want to be put to shame again. And that's why it says, V'hanisi'im k'siv. In this pasuk, we're missing a yud. V'hanisi'im. There should be a yud between the sin and the aleph. Where is the yud? In order to show that they were lazy. The Torah over here is telling an incredible, incredible insight. Yorda Torah l'sevdaita shaladam. The reason why they did not give up front is really not because they wanted to give everyone else a chance to participate in the building of the Mishkan. It's because they were just simply lazy. An incredible thing. The Torah here is saying testimony. The reason... What?
Were they arrogant or lazy?
I don't know. You have to study the human condition. You have to go talk to a psychologist and explain this phenomenon that the poor people, the poor, simple people, were diligent and they gave away their life savings. We have to assume here that the rich people thought, they made a calculation and they thought, here, we have Klal Yisrael. The vast majority of Klal Yisrael are poor, poor people. How much are they going to give? $18? If every person in the entire Klal Yisrael gives $18, you'll come up with whatever the numbers will be. You'll come up with a fraction of what it's going to cost to build this structure. So then we will sweep in, we'll swoop down, and we'll pay the remainder of the bill, and we'll end up being these big heroes. We'll end up paying millions and millions of dollars. Who knows what they're going to pay? Because how much are the poor people anyway going to go give? So that's what their intent. That's what they said. Now it seemed like it was a very noble thing. Yeah, you know, let everyone have a chelek in the Mishkan, and we'll come and be mashlim. The Torah here is saying testimony by leaving out a letter in their name, in their title, Hanesiim. There is no yud in the letter, in the word Hanesiim. That the real reason why they did not come forward in the very beginning and put down a large sum of money is because they were just lazy. They couldn't care less. It wasn't so important to them. They were satisfied with their portion in life of being great people and having positions of leadership, having power, and therefore this project of building the Mishkan was not so important. They were lazy. These rich people were lazy in the mission of building a bayis for Hashem to permanently rest His divine presence. This Rashi, if you wouldn't have a Rashi like this, a Rashi selling from the Chazal, from the Sifrei, it would be apikursus. Mamish apikursus to say something like this. To say that the Nesiim, the princes of Klal Yisrael, were corrupt. But you know something is very interesting, because these same Nisiyim, they participated in as being the Meraglim. The Meraglim, if I'm not mistaken. These were the same. Who were the Meraglim? Who were the Meraglim? The leaders. The leaders went, and they were the ones who spied on the land, and 10 of 12 of them came back and issued a slanderous report, which resulted in us wandering in the desert for 40 years. So just because a person is a leader, it doesn't mean he has your best interest in mind. We have already two examples. They were lazy. Here we are. This was the atonement for the Egel building the Mishkan. The Mishkan was the kapara. It was necessary. It's the Makam Hashua Sashrina. And the Nesiyim, Rashi tells, were lazy. It's not a priority. When they went into Eretz Yisrael, they came back. They didn't want to go. It's no good. Something's very, very wrong. You see, you know, this whole, you know, pandemic we had this last 2 years. I was also like this to a very large degree in the very beginning. And I know people like this right now. I can give you a whole long list. And I'm telling you over here is really not politically correct. But I'll tell it to you anyway, because there's some Musar over here in this Rashi. I always really thought in the beginning that our leaders would never, ever harm us. When they tell you that they have a plan, lockdowns, and they have a vaccine, and they have this, and they have that, you believe them with blind faith. Why would the government want to harm you? Why would they want to cause harm upon you? And now it's 2 years later. And listen, you know, it all depends where you get your news from. And it's a very hot topic. A hot debate, but a lot of people have expressed some concern that not every leader appears to have our best interest in mind. Not every leader really cares about their constituents. There are other factors which go into their decisions. And, you know, I mean, you know, everyone has their opinion, and everyone, you know, and there are a lot of different people in leadership, a lot of different positions in leadership. It's a very, very frightening thing. It's a very frightening thing that just because you have a person who you appoint as a leader and he appears to be doing your best interest, look at these words here in this Rashi. The Nisim had all the money and all the power. And look how they let us down twice. They let us down in the building of the Mishkan, and they let us down in going into Eretz Yisrael, by going into the land and spying on the land and coming back with an evil report. It's very, very frightening. Okay, now we go back over here to the Targum. Let's go back right from, it's so late, I have to switch over to the Targum. Targum over here says, okay, Be'efodo uvichushu. So I think what I want to suggest over here, that Rashi over here, the reason why the Targum is adding in this one word, L'shaka'a, is because of this lamed. This is my suggestion. And you see, this makes a very big nafkamina when you're Baal Kriya. Ken Laning, it's very common, you have a Baal Kriya, even a one for many, many years, they'll read the Hanesim of you, Es Avnesh and Es Avnesh HaMulim, Le'efoid V'lachosh. Mr. Rappaport, if you were in Shul, and the Baal Kriya, he said instead of Lo'efoid, he said Le'efoid V'lachosh. Would you correct him?
Yes.
You would correct him?
Yeah, it's a klumas under the law.
Right, okay, so you correct him. I'm not so sure that everyone would correct him. You know, it all depends on what shul you go to. It all depends on how makbid they are, the Kriya Santoro. This is a type of mistake that happens. Okay, you have this type of mistake in many, many places. The Esam Nehoi Amiluim, Leifoid Velachoshem. Not everyone, you know, sometimes your eyes, you know, you're tired. So let's say you would not correct him. And then later on you realize, you know, someone says, you know, he made a mistake. He said le'efoid instead of lo'efoid. So what's the first question that you ask? Is this mistake ma'akif? Does it really make a difference? The rule is, if a person makes a mistake in the reading of the word and the way he pronounced the word, it doesn't make a difference, then you don't have to correct him. It's not correct, but you don't go and embarrass him and correct him. Is there a difference in the pronunciation of lo'efoid and le'efoid? Generally not. Generally there is no difference. But in this instance, it would appear that there is. Because if you would say they brought the Avdei Hashem, the Avdei Hamiluim, for, is that what it says over here? In the English? For the ephod and for the breast piece. That's also very unusual. No one would translate that today. No one would do this. Breast plate, not breast piece. Goes to show that this is a very dated translation. No one, if it's for, it doesn't make a difference if it's le or la. Really, in fact, if it's for, it should be le. Along comes the Targum, and the Targum notices that it doesn't say le, it says la. And you know what that means? It's not for, it's to insert. It's not just, put this aside. It's to insert in the ephod and to insert in the choshen. The law is going on both the word ephod and the word choshen. The law, the komatz, that little komatz translates into the word lishakoah. That's why you need a targum. The targum is of that one little komatz. The Nesim, they brought Eis Avnei Hashem, Eis Avnei Alumlu, for what purpose? Not just to designate for the Eifod and the Choshen and at a later point in time, they will go and they'll put everything into place. No, it's to actually take the stones and to insert them in the sockets of the Eifod and the Choshen. That's the law. It's Ma'akev. Mr. Rabbi, hear what I'm trying to say?
It's the double insertion, one in without it. And if you read it le, you would think it's only to the ephod itself.
No, I don't think le would mean to designate for the purpose of. To designate these stones for the purpose of using it with the ephod and the choshen. When you change it from le to law, it has a connotation to actually do something physical, to insert it into the socket. It's very, very late now. I don't want to keep anyone here. All right. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll leave with that. Thank you very much for coming. Have a wonderful evening, everyone.
Thank you.
Good night. Good night, Blaise. Thanks for coming. Norman, Ezra, Fried, Eshekoyach. Good night, everyone. Good night.